Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we have gathered ourselves together tonight as we have found the need and necessity to come and worship you as our God. How thankful we are that we can come in quietness, gather together, read your word, meditate upon it. And so now as we look into this word, we pray that you'll bless the reading of it, that you'll be our guide and strength with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we all might be edified according to thy will. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For tonight's meditation, we'd like to read out of the book of Romans chapter 10. We're going to follow along. We have turned to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not heard, whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, the sound went into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we assemble ourselves in thy house, Lord, in this evening hour, here upon this midweek with thy word before us, and we count that a great privilege. Father, we give thee thanks, Lord, for the provisions that thou dost make in our lives, Lord, that we have this opportunity to be here together as a body of believers who love thee and who desire to express gratitude toward thee and to worship thee and to magnify thy name for who thou art. Father, it comforts our hearts. It gives meaning to our soul, Father, when we are able to come here and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, we give thee thanks for this opportunity. Father, we are reminded again by this reading in this word this evening, Father, that thou dost love all thy children, the Jews and the Gentiles alike, Father, and that thou hast stretched forth thine hand and called unto a people who were stiff-necked, Father, who desired not to recognize the gift of thy Son, the Messiah that has come here upon this earth. Father, but we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, Lord, that Jesus Christ has come here upon this earth, that truly he did make himself manifest in the flesh. And Father, for this gift of life that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ, we give thee thanks. We confess that he is Lord. Father, we would do that now and throughout all eternity, that Jesus Christ is Lord and that thou hast given unto him power, dear Father. And we rejoice in that which thy hand has done. We give thee honor and we give thee glory. Father, we pray for wisdom. We pray that we would understand this thy word, Lord, that as Israel missed, Lord, the truth of the sending of thy Son, that we would have wisdom and that we would have this knowledge, that we would not go about to establish our own righteousness as the Israelites did, Father, but that we would walk by faith, and having this faith in thee, would don the robe of righteousness. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give us wisdom, that we would understand these things, that thou wouldst reveal them to us through thy word. Father, may thy Holy Spirit speak to us. May we learn and grow in knowledge anew. We pray for this wisdom. We know that it comes from thee. And for that wisdom, Lord, we do humbly pray, not the wisdom of this world. Father, we know that thou hast given unto us many gifts. And for these gifts, we are eternally grateful, both physical and spiritual and in every way. Father, thou hast given unto us many gifts, gifts of life. We have an abundant life because of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as thou hast given unto us gifts, Father, may we model that likewise in our lives and give as well. Father, may we be those who would share and would have a heart that would desire to give for others, Lord, that their lives would be blessed. Father, give unto us that desire to give, Lord, and not that in any way we would be able to earn anything by our giving, Father, but that it would simply be a reflection of all the gifts that thou hast given unto us. And so now as we would sit here and listen to a message and let thy Spirit speak to us as the words go forth, Father, we just pray thee that the sanctuary would be reverent and that we would all be desirous to hear, have a hearing ear to hear what thy Spirit would speak to us. Bless our brother. Father, we know that of ourselves we have nothing to offer, and we know that through the Spirit, Lord, we can receive great things. And so we just would pray for our brother, Lord, that thou wouldst bless him and use him in this evening hour. Lord, truly there are many things that we could pray for. We pray for those who have great needs in their lives and who are suffering in many ways. Father, we would just pray for them that thou wouldst provide comfort and peace, and even healing where it can be according to thy will. And Father, lastly, we would pray, Lord, that those who know thee not would be touched by the power of thy word, that would be touched by the love of God, that they would realize, Father, realize that They are sinners destined for hell if they do not convert and give their lives over unto thee, repent of their sins, become baptized, and walk in newness of life. Father, may their hearts be touched in this evening hour, is our humble plea. We ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
The thing that has inspired me to read this chapter is found in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we gathered ourselves together, we have gathered ourselves together so that we could hear the spoken word. That's the reason we come to church. And so as the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans concerning his own people, if you will, because he was a Jew, he had a desire and a concern for their soul salvation, but so many of them refused to accept it, and it burdened his heart, as he mentions in the first verse, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so his deep desire was for the Israelite people to be saved. But we go on to read here where we find that they didn't all want to accept this gospel message, if you will, that the Apostle Paul had for them. They weren't interested. They were more interested in the law of Moses, as he is in verse 5. Says, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. So that was their concern. That was what they wanted to do. That was what they was taught. They probably learned that from childhood up. We don't know. But this was ingrained in their hearts and in their mind. And as a result of that, it was difficult for them to accept what Paul had to say about Jesus Christ, because they didn't want to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as their personal Savior. This was the Israelite people. And so he talks about them. He says, I bear record that they have a zeal to God, but not according to knowledge. So you see, they have a zeal to God, but not by knowledge. In other words, they didn't want to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ was a Jew, in fact, and that he was the Messiah, and he was the one that came to save them, but they wouldn't accept that as a part of their faith in Jesus Christ or in God. And so they, he says here, they went about, but the righteousness which is of... No, but... It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So you see, they felt they had it, and rightfully so. Paul writes to the Romans, and he tells us in there that they were the ones that the oracles of God were given to. That's a known fact. That's the Israelite people. And not only be given to them, but also, if you will, overflowed into the Gentiles, which is you and I, and we become a part of heirs and co-heirs, even though we're not Jews. And so originally it was for the Jews. This is what he's saying here. But they didn't accept it, and so they went about and with their own thoughts and minds and thinking there's someone. They're Jews, God's chosen people. And so what they do, they began become self-righteous. We're the ones, we're good. Oh, wait a minute. You might be good, but you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and you ain't no good. I'm sorry. And this is what he is saying to them, because he says in... in verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And so he was trying to bring to them that they need the faith in Jesus Christ. Forget your own righteousness. Forget your Jews. Forget you thinking you're something. You're not. And we are, all of us, none of us are nothing. But when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we become heirs and co-heirs with Christ of the kingdom of God. Now, that may not sound like anything that some of you are interested in. But if you think about that, that's nothing more than what we're talking about, eternal life, going to heaven. That's what it's talking about. That's those of us that believe in Jesus Christ. And you see, the Jews here didn't want to accept that. They didn't want to accept it in faith. And this is what he's trying to tell them. That you got to accept this. How do you do it? He says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you see, they didn't want to even accept the fact that he was raised from the dead. This is sad news for them. But it's the way they were. They went about, made their own righteousness. They thought it was good, but would not accept the fact that it took faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And that applies to us, very same thing to us today. We read in Hebrews, it says in the 11th chapter, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you see, it's impossible to please God unless you have faith and believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what he was trying to get through to them, and they wouldn't accept it. And this is the same thing. As it goes on to say, he talks about how this comes about. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then he says, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the name of the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So you see, if you want to be saved, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. Not only do you got to believe in Jesus Christ, but you got to believe in the Holy Spirit and believe in God. Now that may not be a problem for you. That's good. God forbid that it is a problem for you. But this is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of your soul salvation. To know this, the Trinity, first of all. And not only to know it, but to believe it. Believe it with all your heart. You see, if you have a desire to become a child of God, and you just want to go out with the guys or with the gals or whatever you are, and you just want to be a part of them, and you don't really believe it, you're not really sincere, and you ain't so sure what you believe, then just forget it. Because your heart has to be given. Your heart has to be desirous. You have to surrender your will to God, to Jesus Christ, your whole heart. And so this is what he is saying here, that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. We're all in all. And so we become part of it. But he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you see, he lays this out in steps like this for them to understand that if you don't hear the word, you don't believe in the word, from what the preacher says, you're out on left field. You're lost. You're not going to get saved. You have to hear the word, and that's why he goes on to say then, but they have not obeyed the gospel. No, verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And so you see, we have this very same thing today. You hear sermon after sermon. You've been encouraged. You've had an emotional. You felt you want to be saved and you want to become a child of God. You go out them doors and next day it's like, whew, way it went, all disappeared. And you know how I know that? I did the same thing. I would get inspired, I would be encouraged, and I would want to become one of God's children. But somehow, when it comes down to, like they say, the rubber meets the road, couldn't handle it, didn't want it. I wasn't serious. I wasn't excited about becoming one of God's children. My whole heart was not in it. And as a result, I successfully put it off for several years. Not good. Not good at all. But thanks be to God. By His grace and His mercy, He has forgiven me and He has called me again and again until I finally accepted this way of salvation, this gospel of peace. And once I did that, the world changed completely for me. Completely changed. I had no use for the things that I used to do. I had no use for some of the friends that I used to have. I was not interested in the places that they went and I went. No more. No more. Because my heart at that point was ready to give up that stuff, forget it, and follow the Lord. And that's what you got to do. That's the only way. And that's why he goes on to say here that not all have obeyed this report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're so thankful that so many of you come here Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, singing. That's great. And even probably Saturday night, many of you come. That's good. That's you're interested enough to hear the word of God. And that's good. I'm glad to hear that. But you got to do something about it. James writes, faith without works is dead. You realize that even the devil believes, but he didn't do anything about it. So faith without works is dead. In other words, if you have the faith, you come here, you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in the Trinity, you want to be a child of God, that's well and good, but you got to do something about it. You got to make a decision. You got to ask God to help you. And He will. But you got to surrender your will to His. Simple. I realize it's easy for me to stand up here and say that, but it's not easy for some of you to do it. But trust me, if you don't, you'll never be saved. Never be saved if you don't. If you don't put your faith to work, in other words, not only believe, yes, you got to believe, but you got what are you going to believe? You're only going to believe that He's the Son of God, and that's it? You're going to be saved? That's what it says here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt be believed in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Simple, eh? But the key here is, and shall believe in thine heart. That's the key. Believe in your heart. You got to believe that you want to be, that you have a desire, a sincere desire, and you want to follow through with a commitment that you would like to make. And we're here to help in any way that we can. Not only to stand up here and to preach, but to counsel, to give counsel to whatever questions you have. We're here to help you. We're here to encourage you because we love you. Just like Christ loved us, He called us, we obeyed. We love you, we're calling you, and we want you to obey. And so you see, when he goes on to talk about this, as he says, for I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now you see, the Apostle Paul was convinced that this word wasn't just there in Jerusalem. It wasn't just in Israel. It went everywhere. And he had reason to believe that because he was a missionary and he went everywhere and he preached this gospel message. And so you see, Christ said when he's going to come back, when the word is spread throughout the whole world. You know, I used to think, I got a lot of time. The missionaries, they haven't gotten to all the places. So good, I got a lot of time. Wrong. Don't bank on that. We have no idea how far and wide this word has been spread. Nobody knows. Only God knows that. And so don't bank on the word has not been spread throughout the world, because it has. How far and wide, we really don't know. And so we can't count on that we got time. No, you don't have time. We don't have time. It's coming to the end. The signs of the time are that things are turning around. We've seen that. We've seen it in the last 2 or 3 months. What has happened to us? What is happening still? What's going on? Things are still not back to what we called normal. Who knows what's coming? We don't even know what tomorrow brings. And so you see, this is what he was trying to encourage the Jews to obey this word that he's preaching to them. Obey it. Listen up. And so he says here, but I say, did not Israel know? I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, I will anger you. You see, God done what he could do to encourage them to come to the knowledge of this truth. And so he invited the Gentiles as a nation became a part of this family of God to provoke them, to make them realize, look, I give you a chance and you have not accepted, you have not believed the report. So he gives them this nation, which is the Gentiles, and they became the family of God. They became God's chosen people. We are considered his children, not just the Jews and the Israelites. We that believe in Jesus Christ are God's children. And this is what he was saying here, that he would give this to make them realize, as he says, you provoke you to jealousy. And it didn't work. We can see here that, but Esaias said, very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Sad case, sad situation. Very sad. There are Jews that have accepted Jesus Christ. They call them Messianic Jews. They believe in the Messiah, and they have turned and believed in Jesus Christ, and as a result, they are Jews and have accepted this way of salvation. But by and large, as a nation, they have not. As a matter of fact, I was quite surprised when we went to Israel and we visited there. And they told us the biggest majority of people in Jerusalem alone have no religion at all. They don't believe in God. They don't have a religion. Nothing. They're just Jews. I thought that was astounding. These are God's chosen people. But that's the way it is. They have not, as a nation, accepted this way, this plan of salvation. There's coming a day when they will, when the day for the Gentiles will be closed, the time will be come to an end for the Gentiles, and then the Jews will be given another chance. And so, until then, they are this disobedient and gainsaying people. And so, we have that not only in Jewish people, but here among us. When you reject the plan of salvation, you become disobedient and a gainsaying person when you neglect to accept your soul's salvation. So you see, as we read the book of Romans, what Paul has written to them, he encourages many times. And I would encourage any of you that want to seek out your salvation, read Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8. Because in Romans chapter 6, it talks all about being dead to sin, having the grace of God, obedience, dying to sin, being baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ, buried in the likeness that he was, and then arise as a new creature, becoming, and all things become new, and you no longer want to serve sin. You want to serve with your members in your body, service to righteousness and not unto sin. It's an educational chapter. If you want to read even more, read the third chapter of St. John. There he explains to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. If you're not born again, he says, you will not see the kingdom of God. My prayer is, my friends outside of Christ, as well as our brothers and our sisters, read the word, meditate upon it, help your children, explain things to them if you need be. Because the day is coming when the Lord's coming back. We don't know when, but things could turn clear around and we could be facing some real trials and tribulations. If we don't have the faith and we don't believe in have a strong faith in Jesus Christ, we can be swayed. There are people that have had that faith and at once started off. But the things of this world has enticed them so much, they have actually fallen away from the grace of God by their own choice, by their own discretion. It can happen, but it don't have to happen. If you keep your mind on Christ, you read his word, meditate upon it, and keep it in your heart, you won't fall away. You don't need to fear that. That was one of the things that used to bother me when I was unconverted. I didn't want to become converted because that sounded like a stringent life that I was never going to be able to keep. And you know what? I was right. I can't do it myself. I must rely on Jesus Christ. I must rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. I can't do it myself. And I thought I could. You can't. We got to trust God. We got to trust Jesus Christ. And we got to believe in him wholeheartedly, seriously. And that's what it means when it says, confess him and believe in him, and you shall be saved. Amen.
The message was loud and clear this evening hour, and I want to be careful that I don't take away from that message that was shared this evening. So I'd just simply like to go over the verse of 9 again, where the Apostle Paul wrote, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This was the message. The Apostle Paul had a heart for the children of Israel. He was one of them. He was one of those that persecuted the church. He thought he had righteousness until Jesus Christ revealed the light to him. And so he had a desire for them that they would be saved. And so he's telling them, it's not works of the law anymore, it is faith. And through faith we believe. And so he writes here earlier in the book saying, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified. We're made clean. We are made righteous before God through our faith in him. And his grace then abundantly comes down to us as we believe in him and give our lives fully over unto him, and are converted and walk in newness of life. His grace comes down to us abundantly. And then chapter 6 says, so what shall we say? Are we going to continue in sin because grace abounds? And that message was clear tonight as well. No, we cannot. We have to walk in newness of life. So he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Alive unto God, believing in Jesus Christ, confessing with our mouth, He is Lord, there is none other. Believing with our heart, believing with everything that we have, and now walking in this newness of life. The Apostle John wrote in his gospel saying, He came to His own, Jesus Christ, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. The Israelites, the Jews, did not believe in Jesus. But it continues on and says, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. And this is us. We believe on His name, and now we become new creatures in Christ. All things are new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, behold, all things are become new. We walk in newness of life. We become Jesus Christ here upon this earth. We let His light shine forth in us. And so we can speak of examples of Zacchaeus, who when Jesus came to him, Zacchaeus of his own self repented and said, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold, and he's going to give half of his goods to the poor. And that's good. Those are examples are good, but our own lives need to reflect that too. Our own lives, we need to come to that point in our lives that as unconverted to become converted, that I have sinned. My sins nailed Jesus to the cross. I need to repent of my sins. I need to walk in newness of life. I need to believe in Him. And so may it be that this message that went forth this evening would prick our hearts, would prick them, and that we would walk in His ways, that we would repent of our sins and desire to live for Him, knowing that we have a reward in heaven above that is glorious beyond what man can describe. And conversely, if we don't repent of our sins, there is a hell that words can't describe either. So may God give wisdom to all who have gathered here this evening. Amen.